We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Great to be here this morning.
Michael, the source of the State Ethics Commission complaint against you, Republican City Council candidate Michael Long, has indicated that he might be filing another complaint. Or do you expect that you might have to make any more modifications in your Ethics Commission filings?
We did make one more amendment to our ethics filing. We're moving forward now.
There's a lot of discussion now between you and your main Democratic rival, Jorge Elorza, about who the best candidate to beat Buddy Cianci in November is. Of course, each of you are trying to win a primary that's going to be contested September 9th. So is this focus on Cianci right now misplaced?
I think so. But I mean, it's important that people know who's better positioned to beat Buddy Cianci. But I think more importantly, it's moving forward to see who has the experience and the vision to move our city forward, and the person who can solve the problems of our city. And I think that's where the contrast comes in between myself and Jorge.
Let's go to Scott.
You know, there's a very nasty piece of mail that's been sent out by Gina Raimondo's campaign. And what it does is it's aimed at Mayor Tavares, obviously, who's her opponent in the governor race. But basically what it does is it says, "Providence shooting sounds like a war," all kinds of blatant headlines. Hasn't crime actually gone down in the city, violent crime, in the last few years?
Scott, it has, but people don't feel safe because our police are overworked and we don't have enough people on the street. People want to see a presence. And that's why we have 15 new police officers that'll be on the streets within the next couple of months from the neighborhoods, in the neighborhoods. And that's very important, that we really beef up our community policing. And I've made the commitment my first year in office that we'll start an academy with another 40 police officers.
Providence police protested this week outside the PPAC when Mayor Tavares was part of a Democratic gubernatorial debate. It seems like they're unhappy about staffing levels. What else is their beef, and could the city have avoided reducing the staffing levels in the police department before preparing for these new hires?
I think the challenge is, obviously, they're understaffed, but the bigger challenge is getting people and getting qualified people into these academies and training them. And that's why we have to take a more proactive approach and start another academy right away. And I think once we get up to the levels where we need to be, you're going to see a better morale with the police department.
And could the city have avoided getting to this lower level of staffing?
I'm not sure. A lot depends on who's retiring, how many people are retiring, and you have to be prepared for that.
Just wondering, should Providence have more charter schools?
Well, the jury's not out on that, Scott. I mean, we have good charter schools. We have some that are not so good. I think what we need to do is we need to focus on our public schools and make sure our public schools are up to standards, that they can compete with charter schools.
Mayor Tavares described the city's financial condition in less than glowing terms in his most recent State of the City address. Is it possible that Providence could still face the possibility of going into bankruptcy?
No, I don't see that at all. Matter of fact, our bond rating was just improved.
I'm wondering about schools. School repair has gotten an awful lot of attention. How does Providence finance repairing the school buildings? And in a larger question on the infrastructure of roads and bridges, I know you have done some streets in some neighborhoods, but going forward, we do know the city needs investments in infrastructure. Where do we get the money to do that?
That's a good question, Scott. When I proposed my plan back in January of rebuilding our schools, $250 million, that was predicated on getting an 80% reimbursement from the state through the schoolhouse funds. Now, we know that there's a moratorium on those funds for another year. By the time our ride report is done with our projections and what we need, I'm confident we can go to the state house and we can get them to lift that sunset clause, because Providence needs that money. Our schools are getting worse and worse by the day. And the longer we hold off, the more it's going to cost us.
In order to offer some tax relief for residents and businesses, Providence has a desperate need for more revenue. What would you do to try and stimulate more revenue for the city?
Just by freezing the commercial tax rate, we went from the number one in the country, the highest commercial tax rate, to number four. Now, number four is not great, but it shows we're heading in the right direction. And this year, we actually expanded our commercial tax base.
What do we do, the city, as far as incentives to try to keep the Superman building from going completely dark?
That's a project, Scott, that has to work for the city as well as the developers and the state. I don't think there's, you know, we all have to benefit from that. And there's a lot of ideas on the table right now, and we'll work with the developers, we'll work with the state, but it has to be beneficial for everyone.
Now, when you mean work with them, do you mean a tax stabilization agreement?
If that's something that needs to be done, absolutely.
Is there a real distinction between you and Jorge Alores on this issue? Because he sounds like he's open to the same thing.
I'm not sure what his position is, but, you know, obviously that the Superman building has been a landmark in the city of Providence.
We're talking here with Providence mayoral candidate Michael Solomon, the president of the city council. To come back to the schools issue, Michael, we know how a lot of kids from cities like Providence and Pawtucket go to CCRI, and they wind up needing a lot of remedial education. And this is a big economic issue for the future of the state, because if these kids don't have basic skills in reading and math, their job outlook isn't very good. How can Providence do better in improving its public schools?
Well, first and foremost, we've had 5 superintendents in the last 13, 14 years. So we need some stability in the curriculum that we have. We can't expect our teachers to be changing their curriculum every 3 years and students learning from a different curriculum. So, I mean, stability is the most important thing. And early child prevention, and I've said it in the past, you know, the child needs to be reading at third grade level by the time they're in third grade, because moving forward, it's reading to learn. And if you can't read, you can't learn.
Do you have faith in school superintendent Susan Lucy?
I think she's doing a good job. I mean, look at our dropout rate has decreased. Our graduation rate has increased. And I think those are the things that we need to look at.
We know that there's a lot of demand for residential units in downtown Providence. Supposedly, the occupancy rate is in the high 90%. How, beyond tax stabilization, are there other ways that you would encourage more residential development downtown?
By the way, that's all over the city. That's not just in downtown Providence. That 5% vacancy rate is throughout the whole city of Providence. So there's a real strong need for apartments in the city of Providence.
I didn't really hear an answer to the question. Yes, there's a strong demand, but how would you go about creating more residential development, particularly downtown?
Well, obviously, you have the Promenade Project, which is going to create 200 more apartments. The Kinsley's is another 30 apartments. I see something with the Superman building potentially being apartments. So the supply is there. We just have to, and by the way, those projects have already started. The Promenade Project, 200 apartments, that project has already started. The Kinsley has already started. So we'll work with developers moving forward.
Do you see yourself debating Buddy Cianci should you win the primary?
I'm sure, you know, we'll get there. We'll address that when we get there after we win the primary.
Why wouldn't you debate him?
Listen, I have no problem debating Buddy Cianci.
We know Buddy is a twice convicted felon, but he also knows the city really well. How do you respond to his argument that he has the stuff to move the city forward?
We know the city well also. We've been there for the last 7 years, been the council president the last 4 years. I feel very confident that I could run this city and run it with a vision, moving the city forward.
How are we going to attract more business to Providence? We seem to have kind of a flight of some of our traditional businesses, manufacturing especially, and even in the commercial section. What do we do to bring more business downtown Providence?
I think what we have to do is we have to be out there and we have to be proactive. We have to be on a national level attracting businesses to Providence. And that's what it's going to take. Getting in your car and driving up to Boston and looking at businesses up there and show them that, listen, you can come to Providence and you can operate in Providence a lot cheaper than you can in Boston. And if we have a good transit system, I don't see any reason why they wouldn't want to come here.
What's the toughest challenge you've faced in this mayoral campaign?
Good question. I'm not sure. I mean, there's plenty of challenges. I mean, obviously, when you go through an election, there's always challenges. But the biggest challenge, I think, is trying to balance my city council work, campaigning, and, you know, my day-to-day business. So I look at that as the biggest challenge in this campaign.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And mayoral candidate Michael Solomon, who is also the president of the Providence City Council.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Scott.